Item number 17, from the Director of Audit's Office of the Comptroller, submitting an informational audit report entitled Key Concepts for Evaluating Options for Delivery of Services Provided by the Milwaukee County Office of the Sheriff. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Hare, I believe that Supervisor Romo West had a request related to this item.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Jerry Hare, Director of Audits of Milwaukee County Comptroller's Office. This is actually a report that we issued in April of 13, but this earlier this spring you were having some discussions about sheriff's operations, and these are probably issues that you will continue to discuss as you deal with the sheriff's budget and other fiscal matters at the sheriff's office. So I think it can be a handy reference tool for you as you go forward, but essentially what we did with this audit was we laid out, I think, a fairly good description of the sheriff's constitutional and statutory authority, and that is really a key driver in terms of how we approach any relationship with the constitutional officer. The audit also compares the services provided by the sheriff with other Wisconsin sheriff's offices, and we found a significant degree of commonality. Then we go on to provide some trends and analysis of resources and efficiency indicators. We chose a couple that were really high volume that constitute over 55% of the sheriff's activities. And we found that there were indeed some very stable indicators of performance, particularly with the Highway Patrol. On the issue of performance, though, you had also as a body adopted a budget amendment a couple of years ago that asked the sheriff to provide you with a popular report, a sort of a user-friendly report of activity within his office. And he declined to do that for reasons that are, you know, purely his own, but as your auditors, we can tell you that the sheriff's office does use some fairly robust data analysis. When we went looking for information about activities and volumes, we were very impressed with the information that they have available to their command for making decisions. We then went on in the report to look at some relevant personnel costs. There's often conversations about who's best equipped in terms of the fiscal impact of providing law enforcement services to provide at a lowest cost. And when you take out the legacy costs, which you pretty much have to, those are sunk costs, whether you're providing services with the sheriff or municipal law enforcement, our personnel cost structure actually compares very well to the other municipalities that we looked at, the three largest municipalities in Milwaukee County. Our deputy sheriffs are, let's just say, the most affordable in terms of the personnel cost. The overall conclusion on the audit is that the sheriff has a significant amount of latitude. You adopt a budget. You can lay out a foundation for the budget you adopt and what you think should and shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But deployment and use of those resources is purely within the control of the sheriff. Any alternatives going forward beyond dealing with the budget, which the sheriff controls, we think really should be informed by the kind of information we have here. The opportunities for collaboration, for transfer of responsibility, there's always a consequence. For example, at the airport, there was some discussion about that. There's a significant amount of legacy that's charged to the airport because the sheriff does continue to provide security services there. So I've said more than I really intended to. I think that this can be a resource for you as you deliberate on the budget or other policy items, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much for that audit.
Thank you.
Supervisor Mayo, the Supervisor Romo West.
Mr. Hare, what is the most gleaming thing that is still reported to be disturbed?
Well, I think for us, we were a bit surprised to see that there really is no good description of what is mandated and what is discretionary. We thought that any, you know, reading of the law in Wisconsin and other publications would tell us what the sheriff has to do and what the sheriff chooses to do. So we made our own. We built our own table, and I think, you know, the sheriff doesn't agree with everything that's in here, but in page 17 in table 3, we lay out what we believe are the mandatory and discretionary functions of the office of the sheriff. The other thing along those lines that is always something you need to keep in mind, a mandatory versus discretionary services. As a county government, we often are mandated to do something, but we are rarely mandated to do a certain volume of something. Mm-hmm. Now, some things you can't avoid. If you're mandated to run a jail, you have to lock people up. But there are other things that involve activities of patrol, things where there's more discretion on the amount of activity that is conducted. So To us, that was the hardest thing to grapple with, Supervisor Mayo, but I think it hopefully can be of value to you when you look at what the sheriff does because he has to do and what he does because he chooses to do.
Thank you. Thank you. Supervisor Roma West.
I just want to thank Mr. Hare for the work that he's put in on this, and I will obviously read this again in depth, but I guess I still have a question regarding the staffing and yes. What your synopsis is on that.
Well, Mr. Chair, if Supervisor Mayo would have asked what's the second most interesting thing in the report, I think if you go to page 29, and actually page 28 is sort of the foundation on the staffing levels for detention, but as a government, especially with law enforcement, you'll recall the situation of the House of Correction with just significant mandatory overtime. Employees couldn't get a day off. We had FMLA issues. We had morale issues. And we just had expense issues because everything was being done in overtime. For a number of years, the sheriff was very aggressive in managing his overtime budget. And on page 29, you see a significant decline in overtime costs. What we've seen in more recent years, and this ends in 12 because, as I mentioned, this was an audit that we released in early 13, that trend line has continued to go up. So the good news is the sheriff has managed overtime, but the kind of bad news is as staff resources have diminished, that overtime has ticked back up.
Okay. So one could surmise by looking at that graph then that there is indeed a staffing shortage within the Sheriff's Department?
Well, Mr. Chairman, let me be more precise. I think if you take the Sheriff's position that he is doing now, everything that he believes he needs to do within his authority and mandate, then overtime is an indication of short staffing. If you believe that there are areas that he does not have to be doing as much as he's doing, then overtime is something that you may have an issue with. But the truth of it is, what this all comes down to is the sheriff has the authority to decide where to deploy resources. There's a whole conversation that we as a government could have in terms of the ramifications on the countywide deficit. And this government has always relied on a working relationship with those constitutional officers who could just spend money as they see fit. Many years ago, the chief judge used to threaten that if he didn't have resources, and I'm going back about four chief judges now, and I'm not naming names, but there was often a threat of, well, I'll just run deficits, or I'll go to court and get the money. This system works best when you don't have to go down those roads. But the effect of the sheriff spending the money that he thinks is necessary to provide law enforcement services in the county is that you could indeed see deficits.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Supervisors Schmidt in Jersey.
I just got a quick question, and just to see if, you know, it's so hard when you look at data and say, well, but how do you prioritize it? For example, I know it's been looked at and criticized, and the sheriff says, you know, to have deputies, for example, at our entrances. And,
right.
You know, do we... is there any data that says since the sheriffs have been there, we're getting more weapons that we need? We really need to have that kind of protection. Is there any data that would support, you know, either approve or disapprove those ideas that we need deputy sheriffs on these stations and all the time that they spend there?
Mr. Chair, I do not know. I think it's a good question. It's something we could look at and provide an answer for you.
Maybe they'll look at it. Okay, thank you.
Supervisors Jurczyk and Haas.
That was an interesting question in terms of whether he's found contraband and so on. I would think that'd be something we could probably get pretty quickly. But going to section two, the overall conclusion was data indicate Milwaukee County Sheriff has maintained a consistent level of efficiency of operations under his control as staff resources have consistently declined during the past decade. Is that level of efficiency partially gained through expanded use of overtime?
There is less overtime in expressway patrol, I believe, than there are in other areas. Overtime, we saw more overtime in, I believe, corrections and in courts. But expressway patrol, I don't recall that overtime was significant. And in part, that's probably due to the flexibility that one has in expressway patrol versus when you're dealing with correctional facilities, you have to staff correctional facilities. When you're dealing with courts, you have to staff courts. Expressway is kind of a little pressure valve that you can pull back. And obviously, there's a consequence of that. If you pull back too much, you're going to have more incidents on the freeway, less revenue from tickets being written. But it's one where, as with corrections, though, with the exception of the more recent years of overtime increase, what we saw was as the services, as the population of the inmates went down, the staffing came down. It's just more recently that things are ticking up on overtime.
I mean, do you agree with the premise that you can show greater efficiency by using more overtime?
Well, with situations where we have to staff a post, there's always a relief factor, and there's a cost of overtime is time and a half, but it's not another body that has health insurance and pensionable right. service credit. So there is some value to using overtime in lieu of full-time positions. There are burnout factors. There's something to be said for having appropriate staffing, not having to rely on overtime. Overtime can sometimes trigger a whole series of additional overtimes, if you know what I mean. If somebody's not there and a job has to be filled in overtime, that person's not available for their shift, it can really get out of hand. So ideally, your staffing would have a component of overtime that kind of hits that sweet spot of not costing you more than it would to fill a position or a post with full-time positions.
And the other thing, use of monies for non-deputy positions. Were you able to draw any conclusions as to whether the sheriff could actually have more deputy resources by reducing non-deputy staff?
Actually, our office is on record quite some number of years back suggesting that the sheriff move in exactly the other direction. We in the early part of the last decade made some recommendations about converting deputy sheriff jailers to COs, and that is a recommendation that the sheriff and his predecessor and I think the execs and the board have all embraced, to move from the higher cost of sworn deputies to the lower cost of COs.
And I would take COs out of that.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about public relations staff, for example, or secretarial staff.
Yes. Well, this goes to the underlying issue here with the budget for any constitutional officer. Their staffing for administrative support or those kinds of community relations services, it's driven by their view of the need for a position. The sheriff, I think, has made an argument that his community relations staff, well, you actually unfunded that position, and now the person in that position is now an administrative bureau director, I believe. But in my experience, law enforcement makes an argument that communications through public relations or community relations people can help save lives because it involves crime prevention, you know, don't drive drunk, don't drive fast, call us if there's something bad that happens. That there's a public information aspect of law enforcement that can be pretty well justified.
Okay.
The
so
extreme or the level, we don't have an opinion on that at this
sounds
point.
Sounds like as an auditor, you're not willing to
well, yes.
make a conclusion.
That's a fair read on it. It would have been quicker if I had said that too, Supervisor.
Maybe the Sheriff's Department is going to address this, but I would like to know what the use of overtime is right now in the Sheriff's Department. I don't know. You may not have that information.
Well, we know that there was a significant deficit in that account in 13, and when I looked at 14, it appears that it's not as bad as last year. But what you see with, for example, lakefront services, anything going on in the parks, that level of expense is you know, less than half of the budget, but it will probably in the next few months become well beyond half the budget that's spent today. So I think last year was a significant increase in overtime. This year doesn't look to be as significant, but with the summer, I wouldn't bet on that in the long term as an outcome for 14.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you're intending to ask for the sheriffs that are here to respond to this.
I heard you, Supervisor.
Thank you.
Inspector, Mr. Lethlean, would you come forward, please?
I think I'll hold Bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. I got the overtime point from my fiscal analyst, Bill Lethlean, so if there's a further question, certainly we'll bring him forward. And I think I might just start with that one point because we're just on it right now, and then I'd like leave to just make a comment or two. I appreciate it. Inspector Edward Bailey with the Sheriff's Office. The year-to-date overtime we're at, Ms. Chairman, Supervisor, is $2.4 million of a budgeted amount of $4.1 million. So even though I would certainly characterize that our overtime expenditures are high, they are within a percentage point of where we're budgeted for this year for overtime. It's not, as we're approaching the six-month mark of the year, we're not grossly outside our overtime budgeted amounts.
All right, thank you.
Having said that, our overtime expenditure is high. They're remarkably high. Remarkably high than they've ever been during Sheriff Clark's administration. And of course, our position is that the sheriff is not going to invoke the service cuts that might be perceived to be mandated by the human resources cuts. And I don't, it's not my desire to be overly or argumentative at all as to that point, but he is not going to cut the services. So we are doing more services on overtime than we have performed traditionally during his over decade of administration. Now, in terms of the use of overtime, one of the things that the good man to my right mentioned was expressway overtime is actually down. The overtime that we're doing on the expressway is grant reimbursed OWI enforcement overtime. Generally, freeway overtime comes from court time. That is to say, you make a case and you have to go to court. When you go to court, you go to court on overtime so that your straight time hours are back on the freeway, hopefully saving lives. And our detention overtime is higher than it has been within the correctional officer staff, but it's still low. We are expending a tremendous amount of overtime in parks and lakefront enforcement and also in court staffing, essentially at the level that we need to be at in terms of our agreement with the Chief Judge, to staff the levels that he wants staffed and that we are in complete agreement need to be staffed. For the permanent staff that are out for all the various reasons an employee isn't at work, either they're sick, they're on vacation, they're taking a personal day, that backfill is through overtime, and our court's overtime is high. I would characterize it that way. Just a general point I might make, Mr. Supervisor, I'd be happy to answer any questions from the committee.
Thank you.
I have always been impressed with the thoroughness of the work of audit, and I say that this audit is no exception to that rule. I was impressed with it when it came out and the diligent work that his team put together. In terms of researching what he talked about, which is the law, which is kind of a dicey, squiggly thing on this point, but also I really was impressed with his finding of regional comparables and delivery of that data to you so that you can try to understand what we do in relation to what our peers in southeast Wisconsin, both on the county side and on the municipal side, are doing. And I do think that this audit does have value for you to that end. The two things that struck the Office of the Sheriff, and I'll speak specifically for Sheriff Clark and also for myself, were what he touched on, which is the value of a Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office Deputy Sheriff, where that dollar per hour work cost is between 9% and 13% of the comparables in every other agency they looked at. And if we hire new deputy sheriffs, younger, at the lower end of our pay scale, because remember, our deputy sheriffs, every one of them is the top step. When we get to hire new ones, that's going to go up to about a 30% savings per hour worked when they come in at the bottom of that pay scale. And also we were struck by, which hasn't been raised in this forum yet, the effects of consolidation, the fact that when we do consolidate police services, we generally consolidate them up to the county level, not down to the municipal level. In fact, audit couldn't find a single incident anywhere in this great nation of ours where we consolidated down to the municipal level. And I'd feel bad about my time today at table if I didn't mention that. The sheriff is a separate elected. Of course, your body knows that. You do have the power of the purse. No more so than when it comes to human resources. We know that. How he gets the work done and the service cuts that he thinks he's going to put in, those are reserved for him. And I suppose I'll end my comments there and be happy to take questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Inspector. Any further comments, questions? Supervisor Mayo? We did that.
Yeah.
No.
I think it has been.
It has been. It
probably
past.
Could be again because it's back on Legistar with another file number, right? So you clearly could do that.
That's relevant. That's relevant.
Okay.
So you remove such?
Yeah.
To receive and
sit? Yes,
Supervisor Haas.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing I found very useful and illustrative about this report was it's how it illustrated a possible course that I think is rather contrary to what has been the presumed course of governance within Moline County. In Section 3, it states, it suggests future collaborations should explore consolidation at the county level rather than fragmentation among municipal police departments. And as the inspector and Director Hare have discussed here, the hourly compensation rates for county deputy sheriffs were lower than the three largest municipalities within the county. So I find that very curious because there's been a lot of discussion about atomization of county's services and breaking things up amongst the municipalities. This committee has repeatedly worked against the proposed atomization of park patrols, which my conclusion was it would not actually yield any additional service. It would just pay for overtime for MPD, and the municipalities would get a pittance, which I don't feel would pay for any increased patrol. So that said, Mr. Chairman, I would ask if the board would like to consider this path for pursuit by the Intergovernmental Relations Committee, which I chair. I think the data shows here that it could be of interest to other municipalities, and I'd be very interested in talking with the Sheriff's Office, Chairwoman, this committee, whomever, should this be a future path. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, a word on that? A quick word?
Yes.
I would like to note, and I'm glad you brought it up, Supervisor, thank you, the work of the board on preserving certain work to be performed by the Deputy Sheriff of the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office has been heavy, heavy lifting, and is, I must tell you, outside just the budget process, which will so soon be back in again, how much it's appreciated. This county board has done the heavy lifting to preserve work to be done by sheriff's deputies. And I promise you, when you let me hire some new ones at a lower pay rate, it's going to pay itself off 100 times over on the dollar side. The service side, I appreciate your strong words towards the fact that you did not come to believe that you'd also see the service increase that was being promised. But just on the dollars and cents side, it's a good business decision. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Inspector. Thank you, Supervisor House.
Thank you, Chair.
Any other comments? We have a motion to receive and place on file the audit report. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Cullen.
Excuse.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend that item number 17 be received and placed on file prevails.
Thank you. Thank you.